to Hayward. He'll step back. Three. Bang! Big, big buckets down the stretch. 32 for Hayward. Hayward on a step back. Oh! Down she goes! Hayward, one big shot after another, and a career night for Gordon Hayward.
This is Gordon Hayward from the Utah Jazz, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Biscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive 10 Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. It's a Tuesday edition of the show, transitioning away from the local sports. We're going to dive back into the NBA and bring on a friend of the show. He joined us pretty regularly during the NBA playoffs last year. It's the first time that we have heard from him this season. We have James Hollis, who is definitely a great basketball mind, and he has a very interesting Twitter handle. We'll talk about that and more, but James definitely knows basketball inside and out, and you can catch a lot of his work at bballbreakdown.com. James, it's a pleasure to get you back on the show today. I appreciate you making time for us. Thank you.
Look at you lying to the people and saying I'm a great basketball mind. I'll take it, though. Thank you.
No, you definitely are. You're a very interesting follow on Twitter. We'll talk about that in just a moment. First off, I want to go back to a particular topic that I talked about heavily during the intro to the show, and that's really the architect of the Chicago Bulls dynasty, Jerry Krause, passing away today at the age of 77. James, I go back to it. I believe that this guy is one of the most interesting general managers in the history of the game. There are so many storylines tied to that Bulls dynasty. I mean, rightfully so. You're talking about one of the greatest basketball players to ever live in Michael Jordan. He kind of had a love but hate type relationship with Jerry Krause. And again, this was the guy that controversially, you know, a very controversial decision at the time, let go of Doug Collins, brought in an unorthodox coach in Phil Jackson. I mean, there's so many storylines tied to this guy. And when you look at his legacy, he's one of the great evaluators that we've ever had in the NBA. I mean, this is it's a sad day for basketball, to say the least.
It is, man, and I'm old enough to remember the Jordan era and the Krause era, and I mean, he struck gold. They got Pippen, they got Horace Grant. That's just a stroke of genius. They they scouted out Kukoc and brought him over, Tony Kukoc, who ended up being a great player for the Bulls and had a long and pretty good NBA career on the first Euros to come over, really. And but like you said, it's very contentious, right? If I remember correctly, Michael Jordan and those guys, they kind of were openly contemptuous towards Krause.
Yes,
and he was. They called him. I think his nickname was Crumbs.
Right.
I don't know if you remember that.
Yep, Crumbs.
Yeah, but no matter what, I mean, he built, you know, one of the greatest sports franchises dynasties ever. You know, six championships in what, 8 years? We haven't seen that. That's a modern dynasty. And, you know, he presided over one of the most fruitful times in Chicago sports history, and you got to give him credit for that. Now, we could always we look back at the way things shook out, right? You know, the dynasty was broken up, and it probably shouldn't have been, right? I mean, you would think a player like Michael Jordan would get his last hurrah, and they would do anything they could to keep those guys together. And, you know, the Bulls have struggled to kind of regain that level of competency again, even though they were, you know, Derrick Rose came along and they made the playoffs, and they're still a very viable franchise. But, he's definitely one of the most polarizing figures in sports.
No doubt about it. And again, he passed away today at the age of 77. James, I want to move over. We'll talk about the Utah Jazz here for just a moment. They have a 20-year reunion for that first Western Conference Championship squad tomorrow when they play host to the New York Knicks at Vivint Smart Home Arena. Unfortunately, you know, this Jazz team, it's connected to Jerry Krause and the Chicago Bulls because you had probably the greatest big three never to win an NBA championship in Karl Malone, John Stockton, and Jeff Hornacek. They were very close. They could never just get over the hump. In your mind, what is special about that Utah Jazz team? You being the student of the game that you are, what do you remember most about that 20-year team?
Consistency. They were just so consistent. It was like a metronome. Stockton to Malone. And the pieces around them came and went. You know, Hornacek was a big part of that for a while. Byron Russell. What's that guy's name? Morris. Chris Morris. The pieces came and went, but the big three really was Coach Sloan, Karl Malone, and John Stockton. And they just so consistent, man. They just ran their offense, you know, it all predicated on that pick and roll. And they just executed you to death. So the Spurs, of course, are now the standard bearer for consistency for, you know, 20 years with Tim Duncan and their big three. But, you know, that was the precursor, you know. The numbers, I think we kind of overlook the numbers of Stockton and Malone a lot historically because we talk about, you know, a lot of Magic Johnson as a point guard. Malone's known as a great scorer, but when we talk about great scorers, we don't bring his name up enough, I think. You know, it's all Michael Jordan and Kobe. So, but the main thing is consistency. Every year, those Jazz teams are right there at the top of the West. They were, you know, they were never an easy out. You couldn't take a night off against them. And, you know, Sloan was tough as nails, and the team followed suit.
It's kind of sad in this generation, especially, you know, here in the state of Utah, you see all these kids who, of course, they look up to Gordon Hayward. They love Rudy Gobert. They weren't around during that era of Utah Jazz basketball. When you talked about the consistency, the pick and roll, Stockton and Malone, Jeff Hornacek really spreading the floor. Byron Russell was the same way on the opposite side of the floor. I mean, he had Greg Ostertag, who wasn't necessarily the best of centers, but look, he was a guy that was able to fill up space inside. You had Antoine Carr coming off of the bench. I mean, that right there is a very solid team front to back. What would you tell a kid today? If a kid came up to you and he said, you know what, my favorite player is Gordon Hayward. He's 12 years old. He never got to watch this team play. What would you tell him about Stockton and Malone? Like, if you're trying to describe it to a kid who never got to watch this team play.
I would tell him that Gordon Hayward, actually, you know, I said he would fit very well into the old Jazz teams because the Jazz DNA is still embedded in that team. Now, even now, they play smart, they play hard, they're deep, and they play together. But I would say that, hey, I understand you love Gordon Hayward and you love what you're seeing now, but you missed out on just one of the most dynamic scoring duos and the most professional duos in the history of the sport. And, you know, no matter what you think of Chris Paul is great. And Chris Paul may go down as a better point guard than John Stockton, but, I mean, that kind of fundamental greatness is you see that in John Stockton. We love Blake Griffin and his scoring. Well, I mean, as much as you love Blake Griffin and high flying scoring, Karl Malone was even a better scorer and a better shooter. It's sad, I guess, if we don't talk about them more. And when you see highlights, you see that, hey, pick and roll, that's great. But so consistent every night, Stockton and Malone, Stockton to Malone. It's something we'll never see again.
Outside of Jerry West and Elgin Baylor, and I think this is even up for debate here, can you think of another duo outside of Stockton and Malone that played at that level that did not win an NBA championship? I mean, we're talking about legendary duos here who could never get who just could not get over that hump.
I really can't. I mean, think about it. We know Karl Malone's like a top five all-time scorer. If you say your best point guards ever, Stockton is up there as top five, top six type of guy. So there's probably not another duo. I'm racking my brains right now. I mean, yeah, Barkley was awesome, but then, you know, Kevin Johnson's not an all-timer. Kemp and Gary Payton are a dynamic duo, I remember, for the dunks, but you don't put them up there with Stockton to Malone. Even if at their peak they were probably, you know, going toe-to-toe with those guys, but you can't put them up there with those guys. I can't think of you know what? It's going to go down as Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant.
Yeah. 10, 12 years from now, we'll probably be talking about that, absolutely. And we'll be talking about a team that blew a 3-1 lead in the Western Conference Finals when we bring that up as well.
Ouch.
Yep.
The West. The Western Conference is going to be a barn burner this year.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is for sure. And one team that's not going to be in the mix in the Western Conference is the Los Angeles Lakers. They have been downright bad this year, James. That is horrible basketball to watch. At the beginning of the season, a lot of people were saying they were fun to watch. Now, as we get down to the end of the season, I think Laker fans just want this year to get over with. However, on the 24th, they also have a pretty cool night at Staples Center. They're going to add Shaquille O'Neal to the front of Staples Center, where already, you know, you'll see a statue of Jerry West, Magic, Kareem, Chuck Hearn. Now Shaq is going to be a part of that group. Shaquille O'Neal and the impact that he had on the NBA. I mean, right now, again, these younger kids, this younger generation that we were talking about, never watching Carl and John play during their time in Utah, they also never got to witness a dominating Shaquille O'Neal. This guy right here, I mean, I think the most overused word in sports is incredible. I think he fits the word. I mean, he was incredible. I don't know if we'll ever see another 7'1", 325-pound guy with the court vision, the speed, and the athleticism of Shaq. He was incredible.
I saw a conversation on Twitter by what I call them with a trademark beside it. I call them them TM because there's a certain amount of people, there's a certain class of person today that, sure, they might like basketball, but I think they love numbers more. And they look at numbers, and the comment was made that Draymond Green could shut down Shaquille O'Neal in his prime because he's such a good defender by the analytics. And I just had to laugh because it's like saying, if I put on the bulletproof vest, I can stop that Mack truck from running me over. Because Shaq was just such a dominant force. And the video, like, clips don't do it justice. He was just, you know, he ate double teamed by Scooby Snacks. He was quick. He was fast. People underestimate because they just remember old Shaq when he was out of shape and kind of lumbering around in Boston. He was nimble. He was fast. He could jump out the gym. He actually could handle the ball and like do a quick burst out dribble. Shaq was everything people think about LeBron now. It was that in the center form, you know. So it saddens me that the further we get away from it, and I don't think we even though we talk about him as a great, we don't talk about enough of how great he was. Dominant is the word I would think of. He was such a dominant presence on the court.
James Hollis of bballbreakdown.com, always kind enough to take out the time to join us here on the show. James, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
I was Jay Hollis Hoops for a short while, but I'm back to you can find me on Twitter at Snotty Dripping. It just feels right. You can read my stuff over at B-Ball Breakdown, and I also do the Truth Podcast over at the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, and I do the Press Basketball Away Team Podcast. So, there you go.
Yeah, you're all over the place. James, I really do appreciate you taking out the time to talk about a couple of subjects. Thank you very much, and hopefully we can get you on again here in the next week or so. That'd be great.
I appreciate it, man, especially like you said, I want to come on and talk about your Jazz, because I was calling them a top four seed all summer last year, and people said I was crazy. So I'm glad they're doing so well.
Yeah, they're really trending 50 wins. It's going to be difficult to get there, you know, looking at the final 11 games. But yes, you were one of the very few that said this team was going to be a top four seed, and now it's right there as we get down to the final 11 games. James, we'll talk again with you here relatively soon. Thank you again for the time.
You're the man.
We're going to break for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.